Blog Talk Radio.
Keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's Bonafide Talk.
Bonafide Talk. Bonafide Talk, yeah.
You are now listening to Bonafide Talk with Evangelist Falana, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country and one of the top radio talk shows on the BFTM Radio Network. Amen. You can actually hear the BFTM Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just go to BFTMradio.com, okay? That's BFTMradio.com. What an honor and a privilege it is to have you with us and the opportunity to speak life into dead situations via the airwaves. Tonight, we are truly speaking life into dead situations. Our featured guest for this evening is the guru of demonstrating the five keys to living a drama-free life. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for this, okay? So who is this woman of God? This woman of God is a woman who is seeking to transform and change the lives of those who sense the thrust of God calling them to kingdom living. She's a mother, grandmother, devoted wife, sister, daughter, and friend who is called to set the captive free, transform lives, and declare the kingdom has come and now we must live it. An ordained prophet, an ordained minister, a certified Christian life coach and deliverance minister. She's been preaching and teaching the gospel for over 20 years. Amen. What a soldier. She received her training and license from the Potter's House School of Ministry in 2001. Trained with Vision Life Ministries as a certified inner healing and deliverance minister in 2003. She is none other, ladies and gentlemen, the lady of the hour, Prophetess Sonya J. Wells. Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Oh, my God. Amazing. I'm so excited to be here.
I am excited to have you. Sister Sonya, thank you so much for tuning in to Bonafide Talk this evening. How are you today?
I am having an amazing day. I am having an amazing day because I declare it to be so.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just give God a round of applause this evening. Amen.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes.
So, Prophetess Sonya, as you and I both know, we don't have but 30 minutes to do this on this particular radio broadcast. I am so all over your YouTube. As I stated in her trailer, guys, on YouTube, the five top ways to live a drama-free life, man, for real, it's time to drop that bag because ain't nobody got time for that drama. I love that clip in the trailer. We don't have to let our issues get the best of us at all. Prophetess Sonya,
yes.
How long have you been studying the five keys to drama-free?
Well, let me just start off by giving you a definition. I've been working and really teaching this for probably the past, I want to say, 7 years. And it was birthed in a vision. Well, not in a vision. God awakened me one morning and said, no more drama. And I said, God, what is drama? And he said, drama is a constant, unscheduled flurry of events that create confusion, distraction, and frustration, which leads to an unproductive lifestyle. And me, I was blown away. I said, okay, God, I'll bite. Why are you saying this to me? So I went to the dictionary and looked up the word drama, and drama in the Webster Dictionary is defined as a series or situation involving intense conflict of forces that dramatically affect the quality of your life. So I knew I was on to something because God is a God of order, and drama is the total opposite of God's divine order for our life.
Amen. Amen. That it
yes.
is. Let's start off. When I listened to that video footage on YouTube at least 10 times. Number one,
oh, wow.
deal with our past. How do we deal with our past, Sonia?
Well, one of the first things I want to say is drama revolved around victimization because we all have been victimized. Every one of us, whether it's on a major scale or a smaller scale, traffic can make us feel victimized. Standing in line can make us feel victimized. But the majority of human beings have been victimized by those closest to us because hurting people hurt people. And so when I say deal with the pain of your past, the reason you have to deal with the pain of your past because the pain of your past become drama triggers. So people can do things to you that remind you of things that happened to you 5, 10, 20 years ago that have nothing to do with current reality or current situations. But because you haven't dealt with that pain of your past, that person or that situation can cause you to overreact, overrespond because you're associating that past of that present and you haven't dealt with it, hence because you are living in a state of victimhood and you haven't walked out of it. So you have to deal
okay.
with that past.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you have to deal with that past pain, and a lot of times we do one of three things with our pain. We either deny it, we deal with it, or we die with it. And so pain is something that most of us do not like to deal with because we've learned to suppress it so well. So dealing with your pain is taking it to God, taking it to the Lord. Jesus says, I am the healer of the brokenhearted. And we go to church every Sunday, but a lot of times we dance and shout over it and emotionalize and sensationalize, but we never really get to the heart of the matter that's really bothering us, that childhood rape, that abandonment, that rejection. Those are the things that a lot of times create drama in our lives and hinder us from having healthy relationships, healthy, you know, just lifestyles and careers and just success in our lives. So you have to deal with that pain of your past, not just to bring it up for the purpose of bringing it up, but bringing it up so you can dismiss it and get it out so that it won't be affect you in the way that you relate to yourself and life and people in general. So that's the first
thing. What do you think are the factors as to why people are reluctant to discuss this? Do you think that it may be embarrassment? Do you think that it may be they are too embarrassed to speak to someone in the church about it? What, or they don't want to deal with it? What do you think are some factors, Sonia, as to why we don't want to deal with our past?
I think we don't like to deal with our past because, number one, it reminds us of our failures. It can shame is a big factor. We feel ashamed because shame tells us that that's who we are. It's not what happened to us, but it's really not. Sometimes we don't have anybody that we can confide in, that we can really share and be truthfully honest about where we are. And so rather than telling anybody, we just wear these masks and pretend that we're okay. I think there's just not an avenue oftentimes for people to go to. I believe there are avenues, but a lot of times individually we don't recognize there are people out there who are willing to listen, who will not hold us in judgment and will hold who will hold our pain in confidentiality. And then the other thing I believe it is that people just don't know how to just bring that stuff up. And, you know, oftentimes when I minister to people throughout where I go churches, a lot of times people come in and they have on this mask, and a lot of times they find themselves literally breaking down in tears. And they're like, oh, my God, I didn't even know that was there. Of course it's there. Pain does not go away. You know, I teach pain is your friend. It never lies. Because when you're in pain, you have indicators that tell you you're in pain. But a lot of times we ignore those symptoms. Now, if you get hungry, you get a stomachache, you, of course you're going to get you something to eat. You're thirsty, you're going to get some water. But if your heart is aching and you have an emotional pain that's manifesting in anger, rejection, all of the above, we totally ignore that. So I think those are the two major factors. We just don't know how to deal with our pain. We just don't know how to deal with it.
You know what? You make a valid point, Sonia, because I know in situations that I've lived through, with many studies in the psychiatric industry that I've done, one of the most challenging things that I'm finding that patients
don't want to do is to go back into their past and deal with the pain because they have to relive it. So whenever
right.
I, you know, try to counsel people, when I let them know that sometimes you have to feel some pain in order to heal, and that's the only way that you're going to get deliverance from that, amen? You know,
yes,
we have a caller,
Tanya. You got to rip that Band-Aid off.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely. Call up with the number ending in 4292. You're now on Bonafide Talk. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
Oh, I just came off, Alana. This is Karen. How you doing?
Hello, Prophetess Karen. I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm just listening
good.
In about healing. I was listening in about healing, and yeah, just like surgery, I could say this. You, in order to get healed from, you know, get healed, some things require surgery. And we know, I know, the surgical pain is one of the worst types of pain. But in order to, in order to heal, we have to endure that to bring forth healing. And sometimes in the deliverance part, we have to talk about what hurt us. And one of the things about healing is getting past the shame. It's a lot of people
Amen.
That feel shame about what happened to them. And see, shame is a lie from the pit of hell. And once you
yes,
get past the shame, knowing that things were not your fault, that other people did to you, then you can press forward in a high call in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go ahead on and go into step two, ladies and gentlemen. Sister Sonya, know your true self.
Yes, I believe that is the most critical piece of this whole conversation. Because one of the things that we have a tendency to do is, as a society as a whole is we're looking outside for confirmation, affirmation of our identity and of our worth. And the minute that we experience rejection, the minute we don't receive validation, the minute we don't get acceptance is the minute that we find ourselves feeling victimized and questioning our own self-worth, our own significance in the world. And so you have to know who you are because at the end of the day, we as human beings, we're broken all in some type of way. And sometimes we attack each other and we do things to each other out of our own brokenness. But when you have a sense of worth or know your authentic self, and that authenticity comes about in you knowing God, there's a direct correlation to you knowing your true self and knowing God. And when you know your true self, you're not so prone to be drawn in to other people's opinions of you. You're not prone to be drawn in to when people reject you, when people have criticism of you. You're not. There's not a propensity there for you to do that. So you have to know your true self in order for you to not allow yourself to be drawn into drama. Because drama is an energy. Drama is, just like I said, the definition, is an energy that pulls you in based on... It's based on other people's opinions, and so it's really critical that you take the time to get to know yourself. Because once you're healed, there's a sinisterness that takes place inside of you that you're not so easily influenced or even offended. Because offense is a big part of drama, a big part of drama.
That it is. That it is. We're going to go into a quick commercial break. We've got three more steps to go within a very short period of time. But let's go ahead and get our praise done. T1 Price, so can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am T1, the Gospel Godfather. I got a few of my friends out here to help me sing this song. We're going to take it back old school style, you know what I'm saying? Like that. I got a testimony. Goes a little something like this. Hey, yo, fellas, drop it.
Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Nobody do me like Jesus.
Jehovah, Jireh, He provides for me.
The Lord, the one who died to save my soul, whose name is more precious than silver or gold, the greatest story that ever was told. He died to set us free. I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me. Way back in the day in Calvary, it's where it all happened in history.
Nobody can do me like him. The light of my life when life is dim. He washed away my life and sin. That's why I'm chasing after him. He's the reason. The reason I'm still breathing. I'm telling you once again, nobody can do me like Jesus. No.
Ain't nobody do me like Jesus.
Woo!
Nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Nobody do me like Jesus.
Jehovah God, He provides me.
Broke all the chains that He set me free. Scared to death.
My blessings come falling down because He is my comforter whenever trouble comes around. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and He's the end. The one who never has let me down, on whom I can always hand it in. The great I am, the one who always understands. The one who cleaned me up and made me whole and made me a new man. I'm going to always follow after Him until the day I die. Nobody can love me like You do. For a sign of that, I testify that.
Ain't nobody do me like Jesus.
Now,
yes, sir. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Glory be to God. Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. Hey, I see my chat room family. I love you. Those of you that are on the switchboard, I love you guys so much. Guys in the chat room, if you have a question or comment or you'd like to participate in this evening's discussion, go ahead and post now, and I will acknowledge you. Those of you that are on the switchboard, press 1 if you have a question, comment, or would like to contribute to tonight's discussion. Okay, Sister Sonia, mind your business. Step number 3.
Well, you know what? The Bible says... The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, make it your goal to live a quiet life and minding your own business and working with your own hands. When you consider drama, and this is just a big one here, when you consider drama, it involves a lot of times us getting involved in other people's affairs. Hence, he say, she say. Hence, blaming and complaining and all of these things that we have a propensity to do because we are consumed with other people's affairs. A lot of times if we would just be quiet and just take care of what's going on with us personally, we wouldn't get consumed and caught up in the drama. And I want to say this because I think I need to emphasize this. Drama has 3 primary roles that play out. You have the victim, you have the persecutor, and you have the rescuer. You will not have drama without all 3. Most of the times you'll see those 3 characters played out in the what's called the dreaded drama triangle, and that's a theory created by a Dr. Cartman that's literally about transactional relationship, because at the end of the day, we are all seeking something from one another, and when we don't get it, we feel victimized, and so we find ourselves consumed with other people's affairs because we have some personal inadequacies or insecurities or flaws. We need to be needed. We need to feel important. And so a lot of times we find ourselves consumed with other people's affairs because we don't want to deal with our own affairs. So, and this is scriptural, mind your own business. Deal with what's dealing with you. And when you deal with what's dealing with you, you don't have time to be consumed with other people's affairs. Period.
Amen. Boom. So what you're saying is that some people get so consumed with other people's problems so that they don't have to address their own. Wow, that's
They don't
powerful.
Have time to address their own. Yeah.
Wow. So, Sonia, what would you say to ministers that have to, their calling is to help people in so many different ways? How do they keep themselves straight, stress-free in the process?
Well, for one thing, so this is not necessarily related to just for ministers. I mean, when I speak about this particular key, I'm not talking to ministers primarily because that's what we do. We are people. We are in the business of helping and serving and ministering to people. But in light of the fact that we do that, I think you have to always keep in mind, and myself personally, that we are just conduits. We're just the mouthpiece of God. We're just counselors. We're just the type of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. And we can't take on that rescuer
that rescuer mentality, because that's a part of the cycle. When people are in the dreaded drama triangle, one of the things that we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to focus on our issues all the time. We have a certain orientation and mindset. And so we always have that persecutor that we blame, and then we always have that rescuer, which is what the ministers can be in some cases. And a rescuer is more of an enabler than an empowerer. And so you have to make sure you're enabling people. I mean, you're empowering people, and you're not enabling them. You're pointing them back to Jesus. You're pointing them back to the Word. You're pointing them and giving them strategies and resources to help them walk out of the problem of the situation that they're in. And so a key is you personally as a minister being healed and whole yourself, and knowing what your true role is more of a challenger and a coach, a minister to push people into their destiny, to push people to take responsibility for their own life. So,
wow.
Yes. Sonya, we have a caller.
Okay, great. Absolutely.
Caller with the number ending in 1624. You're now calling Bonafide Talk with Evangelist Solana. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion? Caller with the number ending in 1624. You're now on Bonafide Talk with Evangelist Solana. What is your question or comment? Do you have your phone on mute, sir or ma'am? Okay, so maybe they'll hop on in just a moment. So we're going to continue on. Redirect your focus. This kind of coincides with what you were just saying about the focus deal. So what is redirect your focus about?
Okay, redirect your focus is about your natural orientation or your mindset. One of the things that drama does is it draws you in. It draws you in and your thing. And if you have a natural propensity to be problem-focused rather than solution-focused, then you'll find yourself constantly going around this cycle. Because the dynamic that plays out in drama is this. We find ourselves consumed with the problem, and we want to get rid of the problem. And we find temporary solutions to do so. And I can't explain it all right now, but we want to turn our attention away from the problem, not in the sense of ignoring it, but what we end up doing is, let me backtrack. We get emotionally tied up in the problem, number one. We feel anxiety, stress, anger, frustration, all of the various emotions when we feel threatened, because problems make us feel threatened. And so what we have to begin to do is shift our focus from all the emotions that we feel, because what we end up doing is trying to get rid of the emotions, and we never deal with the problem. So you want to begin to be a solution-focused person, to where if you're short of money all the time, if you find yourself in toxic relationship all the time, if you find yourself struggling with hoarding idolatry all the time, you need to find out what is the root cause of that problem and deal with that at that level, so that, because the emotions, you can get rid of those temporarily, but you're not getting rid of the real issue. So you want to refocus your attention from off of how you feel. You want to refocus your attention necessarily not off of the problem, but you want to go to the root of the problem so you can get that dealt with, so you won't find yourself going around the same cycle. Because most, 9 times out of 10, what we do is we get rid of the pain, and we get rid of the pain or the emotion of the pain, but we never deal with what's causing the pain, which takes us back to point one. So focus on, okay, what's really going on? Lord, show me what's the real issue in my life. Father, reveal to me why I keep getting with the same guy over and over again. Or show me why I keep struggling with my finances over and over again. Because as long as you're focusing on the problem, you're never going to really solve it, in the sense of when you're asking God to give you a solution. Because at the end of the day, we just want the problem to go away. How it goes away,
Amen.
We don't care. And we can drink that up, smoke it up, we can dress it up, we can do whatever. But if you turn your attention to now saying, seeking God's face, Lord, show me what the real problem is. Show me the solution versus continuously focusing on the problem. So that's what I mean.
Amen.
By that.
Amen. Makes perfect sense. Okay, this what you just told me just reminded me of an encounter I had some years ago when it was a very good friend of mine who was a recovering drug addict, and he made the comment to me that I didn't quite understand. He says that I'm not using, but I'm not delivered. But I get it now, what he was trying to say, that even though he wasn't smoking crack cocaine anymore, he was still going through some things emotionally that he had not dealt with. And so my advice to him and anyone else in this situation, there comes a point in a time where you have to make a decision, because no matter what the guru of stress-free living says, and no matter even what little Evangelist Blonda says, until you get to that point that you're ready, that you're willing to have that renewal of the mind, it's not going to happen.
Yes.
So my prayer tonight is that after hearing this radio broadcast, someone will want healing. Amen. Sonya, do you think there's a such thing as being addicted to drama?
Oh, honey, yes. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Because you think about our society right now. We live in a society, everything that we see on TV is centered around drama, okay?
Uh-huh.
Reality TV is all about drama. And we just flip those roles back and forth, back and forth. You got your victim. You know, I'm gonna use Housewives of Atlanta. They are prime example. We are addicted to drama because you gotta think about this. What does drama do? Drama gets you attention, right?
Right.
Drama is an adrenaline rush. Some people, I know people, I've ministered to people who don't know how to have a healthy lifestyle because they're so used to being engulfed into a lifestyle of chaos and confusion. When they don't have it, it's like abnormal to them. It's dysfunctional. So, and let me say this, drama is situational. Drama is situational. So you don't have to have drama. Drama shows up when you begin to react to it, okay? So while you can't stop other people's drama, you can stop the drama in your own life by learning how to manage and alter how you respond to it. So,
amen.
But when you like it, then you're going to find yourself drawn into it. And I have to practice it, what I preach, and it's not always easy to do because, again, the dynamics of drama is when you have felt victimized by someone and you don't want to take responsibility, you want to blame, you want to justify, and you want to complain, okay? So, yes, people love drama because they don't like to take responsibility for their life. Yes.
And that's unfortunate because you can't get healing that way. We're going to give caller with the number 164 another opportunity. You're now on Bonafide Talk with Evangelist Blonda. What is your question, comment, or contribution to tonight's discussion?
I just had an epiphany. Once we got out of the season that we were in, I realized that with families and holidays and gathering together, sometimes even our families are drama-centered.
Oh,
so
yep.
what I realized is that within our family, during the holiday time or any time that we are together, we do not let that enter. We have to let the children see that we're all glad and thankful to be together. Sometimes it's not an individual thing. A lot of it is sometimes how we are raised, what we've heard. So
exactly.
We have to change the dynamics of it so that our children would see that we're happy to see Uncle JoJo, even though we know
right.
He might drink a little bit too much. But sometimes I know in my daughter's house where we all gather, those kind of things don't even enter there. And I was sitting at my daughter's house, and I looked up at the door, and she had a red ribbon going down around the sill of the door. And I said, what's that up there for? And soon as I said it, it spoke to me that whoever enters that front door, no trouble, no drama shall enter. And you always have to be aware about who you allow in to your home, into yourself. You have to be aware. And don't let this drama consume you, because just like I said, we came right out the holidays, and we know that could be stressful times for a lot of us, for a lot of families, but we just do not let that enter. My grandchildren know that it's usually a festive time, that we're thankful, that we're grateful. Them see, we let them give, you know, to people who are less fortunate or go to the Salvation Army. But we have
Amen.
To create.
Caller,
Caller, I apologize. Yes. We've got about 30 seconds left. Thank you so much for calling in. Sorry, you quickly. The last step, know your purpose.
Absolutely. Knowing your purpose, number one, the Bible says without a vision, people perish. That word perish means you're undisciplined, unruly, and you're basically all over the place. But when you have clear vision, which is tied to purpose, you don't have time to be consumed with anything else that's going on because you're so busy focusing on what you are called to do, what you are ordained to do. And your purpose is your only focus and your driving focus. And it just keeps you going. And when you find yourself, some of the people who have the most drama in their lives, it's because they don't have a sense of purpose. They don't have
Amen.
A sense of purpose.
Amen.
They don't know why they're here. So that's it in a nutshell.
Ladies and gentlemen, my wish is that you received some healing as a result of this radio broadcast. And as always,
keep God first in your walk, baby. And that's Bona Fide Talk.
Bona Fide Talk.